2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball.
It's Wednesday, December 30, 2015. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable New Year's Show, brought to you by ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chet Chesko. And Chet, who would have thought after the disappointment of Saturday's blowout at the hands of the now NFC East champion Washington Redskins, that would be followed up with a firing of Chip Kelly with one game left in the season?
Well, not me, that's for sure, Bill. I mean, I thought there was a 20 to 30% chance he'd be fired, but next week, certainly not before the Week 17 season finale. And that tells me that Jeffrey Lurie was really ticked off about the way Season 3 of the now over Chip Kelly era had gone.
Yeah, I'm kind of happy about it because I was never on board with this hire to begin with. I certainly still rooted for the Eagles every week to win, but Chip wasn't my guy to begin with. And, the problem now is cleaning up all the mess. There's a mess down there right now.
And that's not something that's going to happen overnight either. They're going to have to get it right in hiring a new coach, and they'll need to make lots of important decisions about a few important players in the next few months. So just like last year, it's going to be a very interesting offseason.
Well, we're going to begin to sort it all out tonight with our guest, longtime Philly sports writer and present Philly.com columnist Frank Fitzpatrick, making a return visit to the roundtable. Frank, we've got a lot to talk about tonight. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be here, and you're right. We sure do. I can't remember a more shocking coaching move in Philadelphia. You'd almost have to go back to Pat Corrales getting fired when the Phillies were in first place. I mean, that's how surprised I was. I don't know about everybody else, but, 15 games into a season with, just only a week left, something happened.
I thought the same thing, Pat Corrales, when you said that, because, they were in first place in 83 when they fired Corrales and replaced him with Paul Owens, yep.
That's correct.
Well, we're certainly going to talk plenty of Eagles and this Kelly situation in great detail, and we're also going to talk the state of Philadelphia sports, Frank, as we did with you a little bit last time you were with us, but let me lay this on you guys. As we speak, Brett Brown is the longest tenured coach we have here in the city. Dave Haxtell is in his first season. Pete McKinnon is new with the Phillies. The Eagles will have a new man. And Brown, with two-plus years, a 19.8 winning percentage, and a 39-158-1 loss record. Frank, what in the world is going on?
Yeah, I mean, that's stunning in itself. But, I think it speaks not just to the state of Philadelphia sports, but also to the pressures that are on these coaches in the modern sports environment. I mean, these guys, they've got to win. They've got to win quickly, and there's just no opportunity to build a substantial resume anymore. I mean, unless you're a Bill Belichick or somebody that's won four or five Super Bowls. You're in the door today, and you're out of tomorrow. It's kind of frightening for coaches, really. I'm not sure what can be done about it. And I'm not sure if it's a healthy thing. I mean, it seems to me you look around the NFL and the most successful franchises, there's a certain stability in them. How do you achieve any kind of stability, especially in a somewhat complex sports like football, when you're bringing coaches in, giving them a year or two to succeed, and then kicking them out the door and starting from scratch again, starting all over. That was part of the problem with Kelly. He came in and jettisoned a lot of the talent that Andy Reid brought in and thought he'd do it his way. And in the end, he never got the time. I'm not saying he deserved the time, but he never got it. But
Yeah, and you know, I think too, Frank, over years, and you could certainly, you've covered these guys for years and years. I think the fact that you're dealing with a very different type of athlete now. You know, you're everybody's a millionaire. Everybody is more of a prima donna type of guy. It's definitely a me world we live in, and the coach, he's the one that's expendable more than the player.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, to some extent, although coaches are getting paid more and more every year, it seems. But it's just, you know, and I think it's just money, right? It's not just money with the players. It's money right up the line. I mean, there's so much money to be made in sports these days. I mean, it's just incredible. It's what's transforming college sports. That these a lot of schools and a lot of teams and a lot of franchises just don't have the tolerance for patience. You know, there's absolutely no patience in the sports world these days, and I'm not sure what the end result is going to be, but it makes for good news, that's for sure. Now, yesterday was well, one of those days when you're happy to you know, be working in the news business, because you certainly had quite a bit to sink your teeth into.
That's for sure. Well, hey, Dad, I wanted to get you let you get started with the Eagles, but I had a little something for you to get started with. It was just less than 3 short years ago.
Very simply, we're from Philadelphia and we fight. That's it. If there's a game on, we're playing. End of story.
How quick times have changed.
There are no more games on for Chip, at least not in Philadelphia. Let's talk about Chip. Frank, what do you think was his undoing? Was it last winter's off-season moves, the moves that Chip, you know, brought these guys in, and he got rid of LeSean McCoy, brought over Sam Bradford? Was it those moves, or was it just his arrogance, the way he dealt with the media and, you know, wouldn't say he's the general manager, all that kind of stuff? What do you think was his undoing here in the end?
You know, I must admit, I haven't had a real lot of dealings with Chip, but I'm just, as an informed observer, I'm totally perplexed by what happened. I mean, here's a guy that comes into Philadelphia. He's an intelligent guy. He obviously knows football, and yet he's got this compulsion to you know, be unfriendly with the media, to be uncommunicative with the media, to be uncommunicative as a result with the fans. And, you know, if the reports that we're reading are to be believed, he was, to an extent, uncommunicative with his own players and with his owner. And what causes something, I mean, is it just some personality disorder that this guy had right from the beginning? But, you know, even discussing all that and all those aspects about his personality, I think what you've got to look at is there's a lack of talent here. I mean, let's be frank. When he got here, the Eagles were, I mean, he went 10-6 for two seasons, and he's jettisoned a lot of the talent that got them 20 wins in two seasons. He made these decisions, these controversial, bold, I'm smarter than you decisions, to get rid of Jeremy Maclin, to get rid of LeSean McCoy, to get rid of DeSean Jackson. Everybody thought he was, you know, that he must know what he was doing. And, you know, when you make a bold move like that, you better produce, and you better produce quickly. He didn't, and I think Lori is correct in assessing this team and saying we're a lot worse off than we were, you know, when he first got here. And and you can't blame anyone but Kelly for that. I mean, his personnel decisions were horrible in retrospect.
Yeah, those moves, letting Maclin go, the trade McCoy for Kiko Alonso, Bradford, you got Bradford in exchange for Foles and a second-round draft pick.
Right.
You signed
Matthews.
Murray and Matthews. Did you like any of those moves?
I can't think of one. I thought – I was not a big Foles fan. You know, I thought he was a little immobile in the pocket, although having watched Bradford for a season, I mean, you know, Foles looks like Randall Cunningham by comparison almost. But – yeah, I can't think of a single one. I like that he got rid of Maclin. I'm thinking, well, does he really think Jordan Matthews is that kind of outside guy? And you could see all season long, defenses were squeezing the Eagles because they had nothing to fear on the outside. There was no speed out there, so it made it so much easier for defenses to cut off the short passing game, to cut off the running game. You know, I don't know what Chip was thinking. I don't know what he was thinking in terms of so many things. But his personnel, I mean, he's got it. He knows football. Let's as much as we might not like the guy now, and we might, as much as we might want to dump on him, the guy knows football. So what was he thinking? Was he just thinking that my system is better than everybody else's system and it doesn't matter who I plug in? I mean, that's a pretty audacious philosophy to have when you're in the National Football League where, you know, where talent is exposed. I don't know. As I said right in the beginning, I'm perplexed, and I continue to be perplexed.
One of the things I saw one of our buddies, Kevin Riley, who's, you know, a little bit of an Eagles insider, you know, he said that he felt like the worst thing that ever happened for Chip was that he was 10-6 in his first year.
Yeah.
And he was already a little bit of an ego, arrogant kind of guy to begin with, but then because of his success, it was almost like he thought, you know what, this is easy. It's easy, and I'm the man. And I can do some things, and the arrogance got worse, and everything that we've already talked about seemed to get worse to the point that, you know, now he's non-communicative to anybody, as you said.
Yeah, and let's just forget about the arrogance for a minute. Let's just take a look at the system, at the scheme. Go back to the first game of his tenure here, the game against Washington that night. Now, granted, he had Michael Vick, quarterback, who makes things look a lot different than these guys did. But that was an offensive juggernaut, you know? I mean, they just marched up and down the field with alacrity. They didn't take time. They ran that hurry-up offense, you know, to perfection almost. Look at – and now flash forward to a couple of the games this season, including the one Saturday night. Do you see a semblance of that scheme and that offense in what you saw? I sure don't. I mean, what happened? Did the players – it's almost as if the players just quit on him. They just started listening. I mean, they just stopped listening. It's just a stunning turnaround in what's basically a little more than 2 years to go from what we saw in his early games he coached here. And was it just a surprise to the rest of the NFL? Did they catch up? Did they catch on? I don't know. I keep getting back to my puzzlement at the whole Chip Kelly era, but I'm afraid that's going to be the footnote for a lot of us.
Yeah, I think he did catch some teams by surprise that first season, but, you know, the other NFL coaches are smart too, so they figured it out over time. And plus, as you mentioned, the talent's just not as high as it was when he first got here, and that's in large part due to him. All right, so we're going to be searching for a new coach. You're hearing the names already, you know, Sean Payton, John Harbaugh, if we could pry those guys loose, maybe a Sean McDermott or Todd Haley. Josh McDaniels may be getting a second chance. What kind of coach do you think they will look for to replace Chip Kelly?
If it were me, if I were Jeff Lurie, I would look for a guy with NFL experience. I would look for somebody like Peyton. I would maybe try to talk John Gruden. I mean, I know these are long shots. They probably aren't going to happen. But a guy like John Gruden, I think, would be a good fit here. And I think, is Bill Parcells still alive? Yeah. I mean, you know, let's see if he wants to coach. I think they're at that state now. I don't think a coordinator is going to do it. You know, a college coach. I mean, that's what Chip was. I think these owners have a tendency to seesaw on these hirings. You know, they'll hire a college coach once and then a pro. It's like in baseball, they'll hire a tough guy and then an easy guy and then follow him up with another tough guy. So I think they're. You know, if I'm Jeff Lurie, I'm thinking NFL experience. I'm thinking NFL head coaching experience. This franchise is at a pivotal point. I mean, they could really slip off the radar screen given what we saw this year. So I think I'd like to see a guy come in here with a reputation, a guy who's going to earn the respect in the locker room right away. And I think there's some guys like that out there. That's going to be you know, it's not going to be easy to find just the right fit, but, you know, I don't want to see a, I'm sorry, I just don't want to see a Brian Kelly or a Sean McDonough or any of some of the names that are being mentioned now.
I think it'll definitely be a guy with pro experience, not somebody coming from college. I think
right.
Jeffrey learned his lesson there. Another name that's been thrown out there by Merrill Reese, even, and a couple other people, is a guy who certainly has NFL experience, Bill Cowher. Now, I don't think he'd leave the TV studio to come back, but he does have ties with Tom Donahue. So it would be nice, but, boy, wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about, a guy like that. You know, He's certainly got that Eagles connection. He was he was drafted by the Eagles, wasn't he? And was a linebacker on their special
teams.
Yeah,
I believe so.
Was,
for a couple of years, yeah. You know, again, I don't know how much you'd have to pay these guys to lure them out of retirement, but I think that would be the wisest move to make at this juncture.
Hey, Frank, in your 40-plus years of covering Philly sports all along, have you ever seen a situation where there was, I'll call it so much excitement or so much love, whatever you want to call it, for the hiring of a guy to turn to so much hatred for a guy? I mean, that bandwagon emptied quick, and now, you know, I think they did some poll, you know, however they do that, informal poll, that said like 82% of the people were happy that the guy's gone.
Yeah.
You know,
amazing.
It was a short love affair.
And it just fits into our whole, you know, our whole culture. I mean, we're a short attention span culture. You know, we want all our news 140 characters. We want it instantly. We want our interests met when we want them met. You know, we want to wait for anything. And I think we're seeing that in the sports world as well. And again, like we talked about earlier, there's so much money involved that you can't really afford to go in the wrong direction for too long. But you know, you're right. I mean, the animosity you felt toward Kelly in the last week or two is just astounding, given the love that was being shoveled on him the first the first season and a half he was here.
Yeah.
Hey, Frank, when we had you on last January, you talked about this being a downtime for Philadelphia pro sports. That was the beginning of the year. You compared it to, I think, 1972. Well, mm-hmm. Since then, in 2015, of course, the Phillies lost the Major League Baseball worst 99 games. The Flyers missed the playoffs again. 76ers, well, they're just 2-31 this year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's going on with the Eagles. So, again, let me ask you, is this about as bad as it gets? Please tell me it is.
Yes, it is. I mean, can you imagine anything worse?
No.
I certainly can't. And I think that's another reason that there's so much animosity toward Kelly, is that the Eagles were, all the people that suffered with those three other teams were kind of looking toward the Eagles as being the salvation, as being, you know, as having this redemptive season. And the fact that they didn't and didn't so emphatically, I think really ticked a lot of people off and said, well, we've got nothing to look forward to. What does a Philadelphia sports fan have to look forward to for the next couple of years? Can you think of anything? I mean, maybe the Flyers might make the playoffs this year, or maybe next year. But I don't see them as on the verge of winning a Stanley Cup. The other three teams, forget it. I mean, you're looking long term. The Phillies seem to be making some intelligent moves, but again, you know, baseball is a slow turnaround sport, and that's going to take a while. The Sixers, who knows what the heck's going on there? But the Eagles now, I think they're in really dreadful shape. Did you see anything to be encouraged about with the Philadelphia Eagles this year? I mean, maybe Donnie Jones or something. I mean,
yeah, we got a good punter, yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, the offensive line was a mess. The running backs didn't look all that impressive. I didn't see in Bradford what Kelly apparently saw in him. The wide receivers are, oh, my goodness, how many balls did they drop this year? The defense, you know, Fletcher Cox is a nice player, but, Kiko Alonso was a bust. Byron Maxwell was a bust. The defensive backfield save for
Jenkins.
Malcolm Jenkins, yeah, is a mess. So, special teams, which was a sort of a high point last year, turned south. So what do you look forward to? What can you look forward to? I don't know.
I was going to say to you guys, and you led me right into it. I'm going to take a little different approach. I'm going to go glass half full here. Mm-hmm. And here's why. I'm going to say, when we get a coach in that runs a traditional system instead of whatever it was Chip Kelly was trying to run, where everything was sideways, maybe the offensive line, when they're blocking in normal blocking scheme, maybe they're not that bad. Maybe if DeMarco Murray is running the ball north to south 20 or 25 times a game, maybe he's not so bad. Receivers still got to catch the football, and maybe Bradford's not so bad. Now, they still can't play defense. But maybe it's not quite as bad if we put guys back into traditional football positions instead of whatever it was we were trying to do for the last 2 years.
Yeah, that's true.
Is my glass half full on that, fellas?
Yeah, it is. But that's a lot of maybes. And I think we went into the season thinking that maybe if one or two maybes turned positive, that this was a team that could contend. But those wishes were kind of countered pretty quickly. I don't know. That's a lot that has to go right, and a lot of talent that has to prove that what we saw this year, wasn't their actual level of ability.
Yeah. Well, I think the level has definitely gone down. That's for sure.
Yeah. And who's to blame? I mean, Chip's to blame.
Chip's to blame. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they had some all pro caliber players, and he got rid of them for whatever reason, and thought he could replace them. And those kind of guys just aren't replaced that easily, as we found out.
Going to be interesting to see what happens with the new coach, what happens with Sam Bradford. Will they fix the offensive line? So a lot of question marks.
Yeah, do they make a run at one of the guys out there, Kaepernick or RG3?
It's going to be fun. Speaking of the state of Philly sports, Frank, you tweeted a few weeks ago, Philly's next sports parade will be grand marshaled by George Jetson.
I think you got to look into the future to see it, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
now, last January, you told us you thought you might see a glimmer of hope for the 76ers. They won 18 games last season, but Joel Embiid is back on the shelf now, still trying to get healthy. They're off to that horrible start this year. But, hey, at least Ish Smith is back. How do you feel now about your team, your town, your 76ers?
Well, where do I begin? I mean, again, Hinkie's another guy that I can't understand. I'm sorry. I don't feel much better. I mean, they've got a bunch of bigs, a couple of whom they can't keep healthy, and nobody else. I mean, how do you build a basketball team like that? I don't understand what they were thinking. They're just not fun to watch. They can't be fun to coach because they turn the ball over in such an incredible amount. I'm sure someone's got the record for turnovers in a season, and I'm equally certain that the Sixers are going to challenge that total this year.
They've been pretty bad. But speaking of the Sixers, Frank, I loved your tongue-in-cheek rewrites of some popular Christmas carols last week, inspired, as you say, by some of the year's top sports stories. And in case you missed it, there was this one. You really can't look. You really don't care. The Sixers just stink. Their GM's a square. Sam the fraud is conning this town. Good stuff. Good stuff,
yeah.
Frank.
Well, they made it easy for me this year, believe me.
Is it going to get any better on the sports scene, do you think, in 2016-17?
Well, let's break it down. Where could it get better? I mean, the Sixers are probably going to win more than two games, so in their first 33. So if you consider maybe 8 or 9 wins an improvement,
I'm looking to the June draft, though. The June draft, hopefully they'll get some players.
Okay.
Hopefully Embiid will get healthy. I'm trying to be optimistic here.
Yeah, well, I guess I've been around Philadelphia sports so long that it's difficult for me to work up a healthy optimism. But I was talking to somebody, the New York Times is doing a story tomorrow sort of about Philadelphia sports, and I was talking to the reporter, and I said, actually, Philadelphia we're more in our comfort zone right now. You know, when we're whining, complaining, and pleading, and wondering what's going to get better. When the Phillies were having that run in the, 2007, 2008, 2009, it was unnatural for me. I was looking at the city and the fans, and it just didn't feel real to me, Now we're back at a point where it kind of feels real. We're all wondering what the heck's going on here. And there's sort of a delicious self-pity about it all. But
it's 1972 all over.
Yeah, yeah. I think it may be a little worse.
Yeah.
Hey, Frank, what do you think about the Phillies and all their moves and stockpiling all these young guys? I mean, it seems like it's probably the way you have to try to build these days with the money being the way it is. You got to start at the bottom and hopefully a handful of these guys work out, and some of them are going to fall by the wayside.
Yeah, I agree. I think I said earlier that this seems like an intelligent way to go about it. I mean, at some point, you just got to cut your losses and do what they did. You know, trade your veteran players that will allow you to acquire some good young talent, restock a farm system that had been decimated through a series of ill-conceived trades and other factors. I like the fact that they've got a couple of baseball people in there now. I like, you know, Andy McPhail. He's got a good track record. He's a guy that's got a baseball pedigree. You know, he knows what needs to be done. He knows it's going to require patience. And I think he's got a guy like Pete McCannon, who nobody expects to be their manager for the long haul, but who's perfect in a situation like this, you know, where you're basically just treading water and hoping to break in a new player here and there. So, you know, it's not going to be easy to watch them, but I think they're going about it the right way. Whereas with the Sixers, it's, you know, it's such a radical way that they went about this rebuilding or this attempt at rebuilding that, you know, I think there are more question marks about surrounding them than there were surrounding the Phillies.
Hey, Frank, when Bill told me on Sunday you'd be joining us this week, I started thinking about some talking points. And one thing was just where you as a columnist get your ideas. And then lo and behold, I picked up the Sunday sports section. Yeah, I still do purchase an actual physical Inquirer newspaper, at least on
You're
Sunday.
The one.
Yeah. And you started off your Frank's Pace column saying, driving home from Center City recently, I was rummaging through the dusty portion of brain where column ideas are stored. So, yeah, I wanted to ask you, do you really have like a few dozen column ideas stored up there somewhere in your brain?
A few dozen? No. If I have one or two, I'm fortunate. Usually I try to, you know, they come from, first of all, my column is different than the most traditional columns. I mean, I'm not looking to write about Chip Kelly this week or, you know, the typical sports topics. I'm looking for something that's going to just give you a little different, just something that's readable and enjoyable and personal. And so that sort of limits your opportunities. Usually I look for a subject during the week that maybe I can relate to in terms of something that's happened in this city's sports history or something that's happened, you know, in my own career or something that's happened in, you know, someone who we all know in the cities. So I try to relate the present and the past and the personal and the impersonal and just throw it all together into what my boss likes to call an essay as opposed to a column. And, you know, hopefully people find it entertaining.
Absolutely.
Well, Frank, Chet kind of hit somewhere where I was wanting to go with my final question to you. I look at your stories as you are a storyteller. You're a very unique writer, and I really appreciate you for it, because when I read your columns, I see pictures. You know, and I go back to the one you did I don't know, 4, 5, 6 months ago, about the old Connie Mack Stadium and the factories, or Shide Park maybe it was, and the factories around it. And in my head, I'm envisioning these pictures, you know, before my time. And I was the other day when you did the one on Pudd'nhead Jones, I can picture the little kid standing there buying a Christmas tree. To me, it's a true trait. I guess that's why you've been doing this for a long time, because you're not a writer in my mind. You're a storyteller.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. That's what I try to do, is to relate something that's got a narrative arc to it and that people will enjoy and can relate to. I mean, you talked about that Willie Jones column, which is just a simple little column about a kid getting a Christmas tree with his dad on Christmas Eve. I got more email to that, I think, than any story I've ever written in my 40 years.
Yeah,
at the Inquirer, the response was just overwhelming. I think people enjoy a personal story, because you know what? Most of those people that replied to me said I enjoyed the story and then began telling me their own story about their own experience, their own encounter with a baseball player or a football player sometime in their youth. So everybody's got stories inside them, and they like them to be acknowledged, and to read someone else's story, I think, allows them to recall their own stories and their own memories, and it's it's really an interesting phenomenon for me to watch, just to see how much these people enjoy telling their own stories. Everybody's got stories, you know. I'm just fortunate enough to have a forum to tell them.
I liked your column also a few months ago about Yogi Berra, the everyman appeal of the late, great Yogi Berra. That was great stuff. Hey, Frank, before you go, in honor of Chip Kelly, can we play a quick 45-second game of three and out?
Sure.
All right. If you could hire any guy who might be available, who would you bring in to coach the Eagles?
John Gruden.
Okay. What is the most likely matchup for Super Bowl 50?
Super Bowl 50, I would say Denver and Arizona.
Sounds good. And we talked about Pudd'nhead Jones of the Phillies and you meeting him when you were a kid. Is there any nickname in sports as great as Pudd'nhead?
Boy, not that I'm aware of. And I was so interested to find out that it came from a song called Woodenhead Pudd'nhead.
Yeah.
I never knew that. But no, I can't think of a name that's got more resonance to it than that.
All right, Frank. Again, that was a great story and a great column. So thanks.
Well, thank you.
Coming.
I appreciate that.
Well, Frank, I think we used up all of our time with you. We could talk for hours. I love this stuff. But
I'm sure.
We appreciate you, and hopefully we can do this again, and if you're available to come on with us.
All right, I'd be happy to. Hopefully I provided one or two insights.
Oh, you sure did.
Oh, good stuff. Good stuff.
Thanks, Frank.
All right, thank you, guys.
Have a good night.
All right, Frank. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Bud.
Bye-bye.
All right, Chet. Great stuff by Frank. We'll get back with some more of that Eagles talk in just a few minutes. Tell you what, we've got a caller that's been hanging on. Chet, let's go ahead and take that, then we'll get our trivia and our sponsor, and then we'll get on with it, okay?
Yep.
Hello, welcome to the show. Who do we have? Hello. Maybe they were just listening, Chet. Whoop, they went away. They fell off my screen. All right, let's get our trivia question out there. With the first correct answer winning an 8x10 color Oregon Ducks photo signed by Eagles wide receiver Josh Huff just two nights ago at Carl's Cards and Collectibles to the first person that calls in and correctly answers the trivia question. Our shopforkisses.org phone line to answer the trivia question is 929-477-2855. And, Chad, I don't know if you got to see this picture. It's really cool. Cool action shot.
Yeah, I did,
of,
yeah. It is nice.
Yeah, of Huff in his Oregon multicolored uniform. Cool picture.
Very colorful,
by
yes.
By the way, Carl told me Josh Huff, great kid. You know, it was a real good signing event. You know, it was a makeup event. And, you know, Josh was great. Real cordial with everybody, a real great kid. So that's good to know, too.
Yes, it is.
Okay, here we go. 1985. 30 years ago, was the last time an Eagles coach was fired during the season. They had a 6-9 record at the time. Who was the coach that was fired with one game to go in 1985? But think about that. Better get your homework done. All right? Okay, Chet, let's take a break. Thank our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.shopforkisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. All right, Chet, while we're waiting on trivia answers, somebody probably needs to Google that one up, but we'll see.
Hey, give that phone number again. Give the phone number again, Bill.
The phone number to answer the trivia question is 929-477-2855. I'll even read the question again. 1985
okay.
was the last time an Eagles coach was fired during the season. They had a 6-9 record at the time. Who was the coach that was fired with one game to go?
And if you're 40 years old or older, you know this one. So
That's
get
right.
on the phone.
That's right. You do know it. And matter of fact, the name of this guy has been bannered about in our Facebook trails over the last week or two. How's that?
Okay.
For a hint. Well, Chad, hey, I wanted to ask you, it's, you know, all the Chip Kelly stuff is taking the front page, obviously, but man, did the Eagles stink against the Redskins.
Well, they did, yeah. They did. And I made that pick, as we said, based more on my heart than my head, because there was no real logic to pick the Eagles the way they were playing. But, yeah, they stunk it up. And it was, as some other people have said, it was a microcosm of their season. There were dropped passes. There were penalties. There were a couple of times when a receiver was open when Bradford missed him. Bradford wasn't horrible otherwise, but he had a couple of guys wide open, Zach Ertz the one time, and just missed them. You know, some poor blocking. It was just the whole season in a nutshell right there, and that's why they're out of the playoffs now.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, there's all this talk going on about the firing of Kelly and all that, but, you know, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I just wonder if I'm saying this on Saturday night, you know, did Jeffrey Lurie just see this and just say, you know what, I've had enough. This is another blowout at home. I've just seen enough. And the writing was already on the wall.
I mean, they gave up 38 points, what, four times over the last 7 weeks or whatever? They've lost, I think, six games by 20 or more points in the 3 years Kelly was here. And they didn't get better as this season went along. Other than Bradford, who did improve, I mean, there were guys still dropping passes. There were guys still jumping off sides. That's got to be on the coach. I mean, yeah, there's execution, but players have to focus and do better. So I don't know what it was, but, I mean, the coach is the fall guy here. And that's just the way it is.
Well, you know, and what in the world was – I guess that was a trick play on the punt where they hid the guy against the sidelines. What in the world?
I don't know what happened there.
We used to do that. We used to do that in the neighborhood, hide the guy behind the car, let him come out between the two cars and hit him with a pass. What in the world was
that?
And
then when it was raining right after the Eagles got back in it, back to within six, they try that pitch to Murray with a wet ball, and of course that's where the fumble happened, and boom, they're down by 13 again.
Yeah, it just and you know, Kirk Cousins looked like Dan Marino back there. He had time to throw. And he was winging the ball, and he had guys open just all night long.
I'll tell you something. Kirk Cousins, he didn't have just one good game. He's been good for the last, you know, 7 or 8 weeks. We joked about him early in the year, like, you know, nobody was worried about the Redskins, especially, you know, with Kirk Cousins as a quarterback. Well, I'll tell you, he has looked like Dan Marino over the last 2 months, and that's why the Redskins are the division champs. He has definitely improved, and I mean, he's a free agent, but, I mean, it's pretty clear the Redskins want to lock him up because he is a good quarterback.
Yeah, and I liked him out of Michigan State. And, you know, and obviously Mike Shanahan liked him because he picked him and Robert Griffin in the same draft. And, you know, Cousins was the more traditional NFL-type quarterback. And, you know, and he's showing his stuff. You're right. He's a pretty good player. And, you know, and the other thing about that game I thought for the Eagles defensively is, you know, and Chip always said, it's about matchups. Well, how many times did the Redskins get the matchup they wanted? They got Alonzo against a running back that turned into a touchdown. They got Kendrick against the tight end that turned into a touchdown. They got Ryan's against a tight end that turned into a touchdown. Every matchup that they could get, they got and took advantage of it, and thus there's a blowout.
Yeah, they did. The Redskins did what they had to do down the stretch to win it, and, you know, the one team that I thought had no shot of winning the NFC East this year, the start of the year, was the Redskins, and here they are, division champs. Go figure. That's why they play the games.
That's right, and you know what? I would have to go back and actually listen to one of our earlier shows, but I want to think that somebody might have said that the Redskins might be pretty decent this year, that they had a lot of weapons.
I know that. It wasn't me.
I think somebody on this show might have said that, but I think they questioned whether they could play defense. But I think they said that there were an awful lot of weapons on that Washington team. But we'll go back and research.
It would be that other guy who said that, as Danny Bevins would say, because I know I didn't say it. I did not think the Redskins would be any good.
I think it is the other guy that said it. Well, hey, we have a caller here. Let's see if we got a trivia answer. Hello, welcome to the show. Who do we have?
Hey, Bill, how you doing? This is Adam, buddy.
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing very good today. This last 24 hours feels invigorating. I'm happy.
A lot of people
seems
are happy.
Seems to be going around. It certainly seems to be going around. Well, hey, do you have an answer to our trivia tonight, or you just want to talk some Eagles?
Marion Campbell, buddy.
Marion Swamp Fox Campbell. You're right. 1985, he was replaced with one game to go by Fred Bruni for one game, and the Eagles won that game under Fred Bruni, by the way.
Yes, they did.
But you're right. The winner is – you are the winner, and you win the Josh Huff autographed picture, my friend.
I sure do appreciate it. Love the show.
Congrats.
All right. What's your thought? You have an early horse out of the stable here on who you want as the coach?
I'd love to see McDermott back.
McDermott?
Sean McDermott,
okay.
All right.
Yeah, I think just McDermott's back. Going to be a crowd favorite. I really do. I think he's going to be a fan favorite here. We'll see how that goes. I'm not quite so sure on McDermott, and the only reason I say that, I mean, he's a young guy, but you know what? He didn't do all that great until he started getting guys like Luke Kuechly and some other guys, and all of a sudden you become a good defensive coordinator. Which is the same all the way around, you know. I mean, you got to have players.
Yeah, you got to get him a good offensive coordinator, but, you know, he brings a lot of that Jim Johnson, Brian Dawkins dream back to us.
Yep. Well, there's one thing about it is why he was waiting on Luke Kuechly and building that defense down there, they were physical. They're a physical team, old style, just like Jim Johnson used to do. You're exactly right. So that will be interesting. We'll see where that plays out.
Absolutely. Well, you guys
all
have
right,
a great
my man.
Show.
Well, we appreciate you calling. We will get Carl to send that right out to you, and congrats on winning.
Thank you, guys. You guys have a great night.
All right, take care.
All right, Adam. Thanks, bud. Hey, Chet, good winner. Adam's a good guy. You know, Adam's a Philly guy that lives right down here in Lakeland, Florida.
A lot of you transplants down there.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny that we didn't know each other, and we met through Philly Press Box. So
how about that?
How's that? And his wife actually went to the same high school that my boys did, and she's just a couple years older than them. But, yeah, small world.
Well, we've made a lot of new friends through Philly Press Box, so that's a beautiful thing, you know?
Yes, it is. Well, hey, Chet, the Flyers, moving over here to the Flyers, they made the move we knew they had to make. They released Sam Gagne to make roster and cap room for some young defenseman named Shane Gostisbehere. And in the meantime, they go out west and get beat by last place Anaheim. What in the world? It's January. It's time to shift gears to hockey.
Well, first, I'm fine with the decision on Gagne, borderline player who had two goals before going out with concussion. He's been out for the past month. Now, Mark Streit's coming back, and Gostisbehere is hopefully here to stay, so I like that. The loss Sunday night didn't surprise me since it followed a long layoff. So now we got to see how they do over the next several games. They're still, I think, 5 points out of a playoff spot, so they got some work to do. And, I mean, some of the guys have picked up the pace, but now Claude Giroux's been scoreless for, I think, the last five games. So he's in a bit of a slump. We got to get him going again. You know, it's starting to get into mid-season crunch time in the NHL, so I'm going to start watching a little more of them, and you know, hopefully we'll be talking playoffs in a couple of months.
Well, I sure hope so. And, you know, they play San Jose tonight, and they need to pick up a couple points. They need to do okay on this road trip. But, you know, I watch as much as I can, but because I have to actually buy the hockey package, this is my time of year that I buy. I have to buy. So I'll be watching them from here on out, you know, pretty much every game. But I wait until football ends before I buy the whole package, and then after football I buy the baseball package. So –
Well, football's over now, at least.
Football is
at least in terms
over
of the Eagles, football's over.
Yep.
A lot of bowl games.
Well, hey, you mentioned a little bit earlier about the Sixers. They picked up win number two, led by their new or returning acquisition, Ish Smith, while cutting your man, Tony Roten. What happened to Tony?
Well, Tony was their leading scorer last year, but he started this year on the injured list, and then he just never came close to getting back into form when he did get back into action at the beginning of December. So he's gone. I'm okay with that. The good news, though, Ish is back. I know we joke about that, but I like Ish Smith. He's smart. He's a decent shooter. A couple of really, really strong games are ready for him since coming back. And for whatever reason, and this is the important thing, he makes Nerlens Noel, who loves playing with Ish, a much better player offensively. So those guys just really work better together. I mean, they got the one win over the weekend. They almost got a second win the other night, I guess Monday night. So I love the fact that Ish is back. He's so much better than the other guards they have on that team, in my opinion. And that includes Nick Stauskas, who still just can't get it going. The guy can't shoot.
Well, it's something, isn't it? You would think that at some point you're going to get out of that slump. You know, you just practice your way out of it. But boy, it looks like it's going into a half a season.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a lot more fun to watch though as a team. Not a whole lot of changes other than that. You know, Ish back and the veteran Carl Landry is healthy finally. He's already contributed too. And the addition of Mike D'Antoni as associate head coach, I think, is going to help, too. I'm going on record, and I'll say this right now. The Sixers will not set a futility record. Despite the 2-31 start, they will win more than 9 games this season. Mark it down.
Oh, boy, that was a death wish right there. Holy heck.
Yep.
I've seen your picks. But, hey, I was going to ask you, you know, with the new modified, whatever you want to call it, management system that they have in place now, do you see a bunch more changes going on as the new year comes, or are we going to be more of the same basketball?
I don't think there's going to be too many more changes. I mean, they got Ish back, and they have Carl Landry healthy now. The other guy, Marshall, is playing again also. I don't think you'll see too many more changes, maybe one little deal before the trade deadline in February, but not a whole lot of changes. I think this is pretty much what you're going to get. But I think that you will see some better basketball from them now that they have Ish and some of these other guys on the roster and, you know, getting more acclimated to playing again. So they'll be much better than they were in October and November. I promise you that.
All right. Well, hey, we'll be talking a lot more about that as we go on. But, hey, we wanted to get over and talk about this week's winner of the Philly Press Box Radio Pick'em Pool. It's Play Like a Raven, my buddy Chip Brady. He had a nice 12-4 week, and Chip is out on the memorabilia trail, so he isn't able to join us tonight. But that's what he told me. I think he's actually still celebrating the Ravens' win over, as he says, the Stillers. So, congratulations to Chip on winning with 12-4. And Chet, you know, I was going to update the season standings, but I think we'll just skip that tonight.
You can say it. Danny Bevins has a 4-game lead over me. It's true.
It is true. And Danny, with 1 week to go, he actually widened his gap over you, Chet, from 3 games to 4. You're in second place, partner, and it's going to take a 1964 Phillies collapse for you to pull this one out. But if anybody can fold up like a cheap suit, it's Danny. And we've seen that with his Chip Kool-Aid annex all year, that he could fold up in just a heartbeat.
Well, I have 5 or 6 upset specials that I'm ready to go with here in Week 17 that are going to vault me right over Danny into the top spot, and I'm going to get that prize. You'll see, Bevins. Just keep watching.
Hey, Danny, it's all right. I'm just messing with you. Just having some fun with you. So hang in there. I don't want you getting on Facebook and calling me names tonight. Well, hey, Ted, Carl's Cards and Collectibles, they closed out the year with the Josh Huff signing that we talked about a little earlier. But they're going to start out 2016 with current Eagles cornerback Eric Rowe next Tuesday, January the 5th. Our friend, the Invincible, Vince Papale, will be in the store January the 9th. Eagles Hall of Famers Pete Retzlaff and Max Seebohn will be in the store January 16th. Great autographs to get for Eagles fans, that's for sure. Stop by Carl's Cards and Collectibles at 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA, or give Carl a call at 610-789-4996. That's 610-789-4996. You can also visit the website carlscards.com or contact him on Twitter at carlscards.
Always a good lineup of guests at Carl's, and I'm going to do my best to get there on the 9th to see the Invincible one. And I was just thinking, Bill, we should have Carl on our show again.
Actually, funny that you asked that, because Carl will be joining us next week, and I talked him into joining us for the entire hour. I told him he better bone up, because we're going to talk all things Philly sports. We got him for the whole time. He better be on top of his game.
See what I did there? I was your eighth inning setup man right there.
You were, and good job, because I just happened to be one step ahead of you, and looking forward to having the big C back with us. He always has a lot of insight, you know, on dealing with these players, and he's a diehard fan just like the rest of us. And I do know one thing, Chet, Carl needs some hockey. This football season beat him up like the rest of us, and he needs his go-to. He needs to get back to hockey.
Well, he loves the orange and black, so I'm sure we'll get some hockey talk next week. And you know what? Another reason we're going to have Carl on, we checked the ratings. His appearance last year when he did the full hour with you was one of our highest-rated shows. So Carl must have a lot of friends or something. I don't know.
Well, you know, he's a good man. And he, like I say, he brings some insight because of dealing with these players that most people can't bring. So, and he sees them, obviously, in a whole different light. In his store and not in a locker room. So, you know, he gets to be the guy to say, hey, Josh Huff's a great kid.
He is a good guy, Carl Henderson, and we love him, and we're happy to have him on for the full hour next week.
All right. Well, hey, we got a caller, Chet, and I have this funny feeling. I think I know who it is.
Or his initial is DB.
We're going to bring him on here and let him have his pound of flesh if he thinks he needs it.
Hi, you got 30 seconds, pal.
How you doing, fellas?
Who is this?
Hey.
This is
Danny. Deathbed Danny. What's going on, buddy? You lost out on the trivia tonight.
I did. I unfortunately didn't get in onto the show until a little bit later.
Well, you missed a good one, pal.
I know I did. I did, and I feel bad about it, too. I wanted a shot at it. I knew what the prize was, and I wanted a shot at it. But congratulations to whoever did get it. I knew I missed out.
Our buddy Adam won it tonight.
Adam, congratulations.
You deserve it. You're the man.
All right.
But,
so what's
up
with you, man? What's with the deathbed?
I'm still trying to get over. I had my you guys don't want to hear that crap, do you?
But well, we hope you're getting better.
Let's go on to better things than that. I didn't catch what y'all were talking about
earlier
in the show about Chip Kelly and all that. But now, hold on. No. I called to give you, Bill, your pound of flesh and tell you that, you know, indeed, you were correct about Kelly. He's gone, and I'm ready to move on to bigger and better things, hopefully. But I've given you your due on radio.
There you go.
I don't know that I really need my due, but I just saw the writing on the wall a little sooner than everybody else, I think.
Okay. Well, I'm,
so,
you know.
But I appreciate
you were right.
That.
And
Danny,
also, I want to.
I was going to say thank you for not bringing up the football pick'em pool, okay? Thanks for not bringing that up, Danny.
Hey, you guys brought it up, but I want to wish you luck, Chet. I also want to wish the rest of the guys behind you luck too. I mean, because it ain't over till it's over.
I got five or six upset specials.
You're probably going to need them, but
that's what I need at this point. Yep, because I know you're going to play it safe. You're going to play it safe.
Are you sure about that?
I think so.
See, I think I've had a pretty good read on you, Chet, for a few weeks now, and
I hear you.
I kind of think I know how you're going to pick, and as long as I stay with you, I think I'll be all right.
All right, we'll see. Good luck, Danny.
Good luck, Danny.
Thanks, bud. All right, Chet. Well, hey. You, as we said earlier, you went with your heart last week. You picked the Eagles to beat the Redskins 24-20. Well, I went with my brain and picked 34-17 Redskins. Now we have to pick this meaningless game in which we have no idea what the Eagles might look like on offense. And from the Giants' side, we may have Tom Coughlin either trying to save his job or get ready for retirement. Let's see how smart we are. Time's yours, my friend.
Well, forgive me for this, partner, but that is one of the toughest games to pick on the Week 17 schedule for obvious reasons, and because I know he's listening and I don't want to tip off Danny Bevins as to which way I'm going with that one, I'm not going to make a prediction on that game. My apologies, Bill, but that's just the way it has to be this week.
All right. Hey, it's all about the cash, isn't it?
That's right.
It's all about the cash. Well, I'm going to tell you, I am thinking that the offense is going to be better. I'm thinking they're going to score some points. I'm thinking they're going to do some things a little better. It goes back to my glass half full that I mentioned a little bit earlier. But we still don't have anybody to cover the receivers of the Giants. So unless we go full all-out blitz with Marcus Smith, and by the way, Brandon Graham, who had no tackles and no assists last week.
Yeah, yeah.
I am going to go Giants 31, Eagles 21.
Okay.
Got to play defense. Can't play defense. What are you going to do?
I hear you.
All right, Chet. We're going to put you on the hook here. College football, semifinals, New Year's Eve. Oklahoma Sooners, Clemson Tigers, Michigan State Spartans, and Alabama Crimson. Who do you like?
I'm not the huge college football expert, so I'm just going to go with my gut here and say Clemson. I know a lot of people like Oklahoma, but I'm going to go with Clemson. And the other game, I'm guessing Bama would be favored, right? But I'm going to pick Michigan State as an upset. So I'm going to take Clemson and Michigan State, and probably very few people will have that matchup.
Well, you know what? You're absolutely not one bit of fun. None. Because I am taking Clemson and I am taking Michigan State.
I am surprised. Wow.
Well, you know what? Alabama, everybody thinks Alabama is all that. You know what? Michigan State plays good defense and has a football team. I do love Oklahoma a lot, but I don't. You know what? Bob Stoops always manages to lose one important game every year, and Clemson's got a good football team. So I'm going to take Clemson. I'm going to take Michigan State, and we'll talk about the final come next week.
And then there's the Tax Slayer Bowl Saturday in Jacksonville, Georgia and Penn State. Are you excited about that one?
Well, I don't know how excited I am, but I'm going to watch it. I'm going to root for the Nittany Lions, and the Nittany Lions are going to win. All right. Okay. Well, hey, Chet, we just have a minute or so. You have a parting shot for this week?
I have some great New Year's resolutions for some of our local sports folks, but I'm going to hold those till next week. So that'll be next week's parting shot, something to look forward to. But in the meantime, I'm going to tell you that when I was a kid in the 60s and 70s, I would regularly watch ABC's Wide World of Sports, especially when the Harlem Globetrotters were on there. Loved watching them, and I was fortunate enough to get to see them in person up close a few times in their heyday when their two most popular players were Curly Neal and a guy that we just lost this past weekend at the age of 83, Meadowlark Lemon, the Clown Prince of Basketball, who played in more than 10,000 games with the Trotters. And somehow the shtick never got old, the tossing of a bucket of what turned out to be confetti, the basketball that would be attached to a giant rubber band and would come back to him while shooting a free throw, the half-court hook shots that he hardly ever missed. He once said his destiny was to make people happy. Mission accomplished. Meadowlark, you will be missed.
Can't top that. And another great sports figure lost in 2015, for sure.
Yes. We lost a lot of
All right. Well, hey, as we get to the top of the hour, let's thank our special guest, longtime Philadelphia sports columnist Frank Fitzpatrick. Great as always. Carl's Cards and Collectibles for their continuing support of this show. Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes. Our sponsor, ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. For Jim Chachesco, this is Bill Furman. Hoping you have a happy and safe New Year's, and we'll join Philly Press Box Radio on Wednesday, January 6th at 7 p.m. when Carl Henderson of Carl's Cards and Collectibles joins us. You can listen through our Facebook page or on the Internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio and now on both iTunes and Stitcher. Again, happy and safe New Year's and high hopes, Philadelphia sports fans. And yes, we're going to play the Eagles song one more time.